Now you can open your eyes now. Look around, look around. You know where we at?
Oh my gosh.
I wanted to do something special for date night. I wanted to like take you back to where it all began. You know, when you first fell in love with me. You know what I'm saying? You can laugh. That's supposed to be a joke. I remember like yesterday.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Radio Rodney on Washington, D.C.'s number one station.
You make me so happy, like I wanna take you out to eat. You make me so happy, like I just lay here and watch you sleep. You make me so happy, like I wanna run your records in bed. You make me so happy, like daydream, I can't get you out of my head. So happy, like I'm giving you a key to my condo. You make me so happy, like my his and hers are matched with no card note. You make me so happy, like I'll be smiling when I'm asleep, baby. You make me so happy, like 7 days of the week, baby. Loving you all night. Yeah, baby. Hey, hey. Put a ring on it. So happy I could build a throne, so you can be the queen on it. Hey, hey, make me so happy, like I tell a preacher I do. You make me so happy, like I could do the honeymoon too. Yeah, loving you all night, night. Heaven, yeah, I'm gonna be here and I'm gonna stay here.
That's not how we met. I remember it like this.
Raheem Devon, and what it feels like, and welcome to the Soul Savage Show here on Studio W The Buzz. Hey, folks, hey, let's get it. Oh, we've got our host tonight. We've got EB, and we also have Whitney on air with us live. What's up, guys?
Hey,
what's going on?
Hey.
Going on?
Man.
Yo, that was
tight.
A great song, actually, man. That's tight. Well, nice, man. That's actually what it feels like. By the Love King himself, Mr. Raheem Devon, who should be joining us for a brief interview. Raheem, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Bless.
Man, that's a great song.
Man, that thing is tight.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I know you don't have very much time, so we appreciate you taking out what time you do have for us. My name is Whitney, as Will just said, one of the hosts here, so I'm going to just jump right into it. There is a lot of excitement and anticipation building up around your new album, especially with the release of What It Feels Like, which we just heard, and Love Don't Come Easy. For you, what has been one of the most exciting parts of creating this new album?
Just getting it out, you know, like, I've worked on music for so long, I mean, I'm just excited for it to just know it's coming out, like, all the business is done, like, the red tape of it, and being an independent artist, you gotta cross every T and dot every I on your own, and, you know, I've been doing this for 8 years, so it's just like, it's always a process in getting it out, it's just a sample involved, or just whatever it is, you know what I mean, it can become a headache sometimes, so I'm excited to know that we passed all the business stuff, and now, you know, I can just be an artist in artistic mode for the project.
Right, right. Well, hey, we're excited along with you. Are there any songs in particular on this album that made you think, like, wow, I cannot wait for my fans to hear this track right here?
I don't limit my career or my artistry to one song. I'm more of a project guy. Like, you know, gotcha. I feel like, you know, if I just focused on having a favorite song, then it would just, you know, it has to be a body of work, you know what I mean? And it needs to feel like that and exemplify that. And so I'm excited about the entire body of work. It's 13 new tracks. I've been in the game 13 years. You know, it's you know, each track kind of represents a year that you know, a different time. For me, you know, in love, sex or passion and in life. You know, and I hope that people feel my growth and hear my growth as an artist, you know, and as a songwriter.
Right. And that's one of my favorite things about your music is that it consistently tells a story and it truly does make you feel like you're connected to something more than just a song. Is there a secret or like something that you do in particular to ensure that your music stays fresh, authentic, and relatable to the rest of us out here who are listening to it?
A secret? My secret is consistency. You know what I mean? My magic is consistency. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's the main goal. That's it. You know, whether it's, you know, R&B, soul, hip hop, jazz, country, whatever. Like, my goal is just being consistent, man. That's all. Like, I just want to be consistent.
I got you. I can appreciate that. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to EB. I know he's got some questions he's burning to ask you as well. And again, thank you so much for your time.
Actually, Will had a question that he wanted to ask.
Oh, okay.
Yes, thank you so much. Raheem, hi. My name is Will. Will Brown. I'm out here on the West Coast, and I'm the owner and CEO of Studio W Global Radio. And we are broadcasting you around the globe right now. And that first cut, man, What It Feels Like. And I can't wait. And we have Don't Come Easy queued up. Just got a question for you. Is it okay with you that we play your music on our station?
Oh yeah, definitely, man. You know, like, it's you know, that's the new wave, man. I was one of the first people with an internet radio show years ago, you know?
Wow.
Before it was cool, and, you know, it's not about who does it first, it's about who does it best. So, you know, these shows are all around the world. You know, most people don't know abroad, you know, like in London and UK, that's how the music stays alive. Like, there is only one station, BBC Radio. Other than that, everything is a pirate radio station. And these are like pirate radio stations where they're literally breaking the law to play our music, and they have a huge following, you know, in doing stuff. So, you know, as a result, you know, they play your music, the shows are sold out, that's how people know you're in town, you know, the whole nine. So, you know, I leave it up to companies like Sound Exchange and stuff like that to go collect the bag and let's say you get the royalty on it. But it's definitely, I'm thankful for your platform, you know, and all, you know, internet, digital radio, you know, Sirius, satellite, whatever it is, even terrestrial radio. I'm thankful for all the platforms.
Well, thank you so much, because see, we wouldn't play it if it wasn't good. We play great music on this station, and I consider your music great. So thank you. So I'm just going to pass it over to EB, but I want to say this, Mr. Devon, thank you so much for appearing, with us tonight. And I take it that it's okay for me to tell Facebook to get off our backs that it's okay. We have your permission to play this music.
Oh yeah, man, you got my permission. Definitely play, man. Play the whole album when it come out. Play my entire catalog. It's all good.
Hey, thank you, EB.
I love it.
Back to EB.
I love it. I'm glad you brought that up, Raheem, about internet radio and you having a show years ago. A lot of people don't know you actually were one of the first, if not the first, to put out an R&B mixtape. And you know, now it's the thing, everybody wants to put out a mixtape, but you were that dude who did that. I'm not from D.C., but I lived in D.C. for 10 years, so I ran into you many times, been to a couple shows, actually the diner in Adams Morgan. We were there one night, and you were sitting at the table next to us, and you were with a group of people, I was with a group of people, and, you know, like the tables just started talking, we were having a good music conversation. I love the fact that, you put on for the DMV. You represent, like, you know, on the album, I think you working with Yajira, Roxy Reynolds, Chad French. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, I'm big on the DC music scene. I know, like, you know, the Jay Hills, Allison Carney, Wes Felton, Deborah Bond. What is it about the DMV, that makes the music so great? Everybody, I feel like the DMV puts their heart into their music like none other. What is that?
I think the fact that you've been so overlooked for so long, you know, I think with the national success, not just on my side, but of artists who have cracked through on the hip hop side and stayed, you know, some have left,
right.
You know, but like stayed or like, you know, I was that guy that sold mixtapes on the Green Line, you know, sold tapes out the Green Camry. We could be having a conversation. I might have a knapsack of, you know, tapes on me. People would buy them. Like, there was a period of time I would go in a club, a nightclub, platinum nightclub or what have you, and leave out on any given night with, you know, $500,000. You know, I done walked in the club and dead a winner with 50 tapes in a North Face jacket, you know what I'm saying? And like in the corner, like I'm selling dope, like, you know what I mean? But it was just music and it was a good vibe. And it was a time where people just like, I mean, I got that whole thing from like 50 Cent and Mike Jones and those type of guys, like, cause I was a hip hop head. So I was always, you know, listening to the culture or whatever, you know, I was a guy that sounded like he should have on a suit while he's singing, but, you know, I had to grow into that, you know what I mean, and be comfortable in that and be who I am, like, you know what I mean, and I think that people, for me, got, you know, don't judge the book by the cover, you know what I mean, you know, by the time I show up for a show with, you know, DeMont Picasso painted tee on, My jeans sagging a little bit, Timberlands, and part of my work and then part of my living thing about, you know, politics or living like you're bulletproof or, you know what I mean? Or woman, a strong woman. It's like, you know, it was kind of like a method to the madness on that. You know what I mean? Now these days it's like, you know, it's custom suits and, you know, I'm a grown man. So grown man doing his grown, you know, you do as men do, boys do as boys do, but,
right.
Like the culture, I think, again, to speak to that, you know, with the breakthroughs of like Wale and Logic and Fat Shrell or Shy Glizzy, you know, I maybe name an artist you don't know, but like people know these artists all around the world.
Yeah.
They still live here, you know what I mean? And like carved out a lane for themselves. I mean, even the artists you named, Deborah Bond and Allison, and, you know, Wes Felton, who's Wes is like a real OG, real talk.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
He was the one doing it before everybody. And I go on the record and say that. And across the board, acting, painting, Like even now, we revamped the Crossroads movement, and you know, I'm executive producing Wes's next album. But like, you know, Picasso, that's still my brother. But like Wes, we make the show a little more interesting. Wes is painting now on stage now, you know what I'm saying?
You know,
Picasso's all doing his thing. Wes is painting, performing. Like, you know, I think for DC, Go-Go had a huge part that had played a big factor in that too. Because, like, so they wouldn't let us in. They wouldn't let us in. And then with Go-Go, you didn't have to leave. You didn't have to leave, like, home. Like, them bands never had to leave to make money. Excuse me. They didn't have to leave to make money. Most of the bands, the top bands, they're making, you know, we're making $1 million a year, over $1 million a year, not leaving the city. Performing 5 nights a week. The cut line, you gotta pay $200 to just walk in the door. To cut the line. You know what I mean? If you're not properly dressed or whatever. So, like, we got our own little, it's a different culture, man. It's something that's always been kind of like, of a speak about us, and we figured it out and do our own. And I think what I represented and what me and Wes represent is the free will of the artist. Because, you know, even when I had that time that I did, you know, mess with a major and stuff like that, you know, although I've been independent for about 8 years now, you know, Wes never dealt with a major. He just kept it independent, you know what I mean?
Right.
And now that's the move, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, everybody wants to be independent. I mean, that's in my opinion, I think that's the way to go. Speaking of like the DMV and everything, because I always tell people, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, that area in general, they are overlooked. Like, they are just as responsible for the commercialization and the popularity of black music as cities like New York, Atlanta are, like, known for their artists. Like, even with the go-go movement, you know, it's like something that hip-hop used for a minute, something that R&B used for a minute to get on, and then it's like they kind of overlook those artists. So I love that everybody puts that type of heart into it. I've been to maybe 4 or 5 of your shows at either the Warner Theater or Constitution Hall, probably both. Your fans, I've been to a show of yours, and I've been sitting next to like a 21-year-old college student, and on my left, and then on my right, it's a couple in their 60s, you know, dressed in all white from head to toe, sipping on Hennessy. What is it that you do to, you know, cross generations that way? Everybody doesn't have that.
I make real music.
Mm.
You know, I stay true to the culture, study the culture, you know. I'm in different circles. Like, I come from humble beginnings. I'm comfortable in my skin, you know what I'm saying? We can have conversations about trapping or selling dope, or we can have conversations about knowledge itself, or we can have conversations about, you know, my soul not being for sale. We can have conversations about, you know, what's going to be your plan when you come home. We can have conversations about the importance of, like, you know, there's no greater love than, you know, God's love for you and the love for yourself, like what you want to talk about, you know what I mean? And we can do it in the form of a lecture or sitting down, or we can do it in deep melodies. You know, we can do a word melodies and beats, like how you want to do it. Like, I give it to you any way you need it, like, you know what I mean? Like, It's you know, music for me is a conversation, you know, it's a connection, it's a spiritual thing, you know. I made some conscious decisions on what I would talk about and not talk about years ago, and I'm sticking to that, you know, just like I've recently made some decisions and promises to God that I'm sticking on, that I gotta, like, you know, and I know that my reward will be great, you know. Hard, would it be easy every day? No, but, you know, that's just the test, you know what I'm saying? To see if you won't keep your word, you know?
I love it.
So just, you know, it's never too late to be great, man. It's never too late to challenge yourself, you know, to want to be greater. And you know, that's what I just strive to be. I do want to be one of the ones that, you know, they mention with the greats, you know. And
I think you will be, because your music has the ability to bridge a generational gap, and it's vintage quality without sounding like it's dated or like a niche project where, you know, there are artists that I'm not going to name that put out these period projects where they wanted to sound 60s Motown, or they wanted to sound New Jack Swing. Your music just is, and I think part of it is because you said that it's, you know, you put out real music, it's from the heart. So I have one last question, we're going to let you go, I know you're busy. You're in the upcoming movie, Love.com. So Raheem is an actor. We know he's a businessman. There's DMG, Devon Music Group, and then you're a philanthropist. And a lot of people, I don't think they realize that you have the Love Life Foundation. How do you wear so many hats? Where do you find the time?
It's not easy. Like, the method lately is just like consolidating it because we're gonna have to work regardless. Like, you work hard every day, right? But like, it's just to kind of consolidate it, and it's like make it a one-stop drop. So like, when I do radio, like, you know, we evolve them in the process. Like, you know what I mean? So the conversation goes from like, hey, we got Raheem DeVaughn pulling up the Radio 1 today. He's gonna be doing a Midwest run. You know, while he hits these stations, what's some of the community efforts that y'all want to do? Where y'all having challenges in terms of like having artists come out to do certain things? Oh, we got a partnership with the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. You know, we got a epidemic with STDs right here with the youth. How can we get you involved with that? Boom. Okay, I got a partnership with the AHF. So it's like, boom, we do the interview, and we talk about the music. They play the single, but then when I leave, you know, we go hit a high school or go, you know what I mean, or go hit a shelter, you know, and kind of figure out that synergy, or we come back, you know, and a few weeks later, and do a free concert to raise money for, you know, whomever. So it's ways to do it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm all for the party with a purpose, you know what I mean? Like, that's the main thing, just, you know, tying it in. You know, closed mouths don't get fed, man. So you can't, you know, I'm being more, a lot of times, I've been a bit of a recluse in terms of like just doing the work, and not that I'm looking for the accolade, but the more people know what I'm doing, the more help I can get, the more resources I have at my fingertips, and the more people we can help. So,
right.
That's always the goal, you know?
Yeah, you definitely bring awareness, to, you know, those grassroots missions. When you're giving back to your community, you're trying to help build your community, and you're striving for more. So I understand you saying that you're not looking for accolades, but I think it's great that people know that you're doing this, because they will offer the help. And I think Will has one more question, and then you're out.
Right. Just one more, Mr. DeVaughn, out of respect for your time. I was speaking, we had a show, it's really, you mentioned something about the spiritual nature of your music. And just before you said that, I knew I had another question, and I was asking you about the spirituality. And then EB mentioned about him being in a setting, and you had a younger person around 21 on the left or the right, and you had on the opposite side, you had a couple in the 60s, and how you were able to create. And I'm also thinking about a Picasso or something like that, and how, you know, how or an artist would take a thought and put it on canvas. And could you talk about, how is it that you take your music? It seemed like to me you put it on a musical canvas, so to speak. How easy is that for you to translate those thoughts and those ideas in your head into putting it into the product that you produce, and we appreciate?
Hey, you remember that game? You remember that basketball game in the 90s where Michael Jordan, it was the Chicago Bulls against the LA Lakers. They were playing in LA, and Michael Jordan had a fever like 100 degrees, and
yes,
he kept hitting those three pointers, and they asked Michael Jordan at the end of the game, he said it just felt like the rim just felt like a big bucket and he couldn't miss from anywhere.
Right. I remember. I saw the game.
Okay. That's how I feel.
Mm. That's deep. That is deep.
That's how I feel. Like, it feels like when I make music, I feel like I can't miss. Like, you know what I mean? Because I don't make music. Again, I don't make it just for one song. I make it for a body of work, for it to be an experience. You understand what I'm saying? And I write from my own personal experiences or real life experiences. So as long as you write from real life experiences and there's some truth in there, like I make honest music, like, and as long as I make honest music, I can't miss. Some people might not like it. Some people might love it. Some people gonna gravitate to it, but you'll never be able to say it's not honest or it's not real or it's not soulful or lacks feeling or emotion or, you know, or respect for women, you know what I'm saying? Or respect for myself as a man, you know what I mean? So, and that's a conscious decision that's my right to do that. It's a conscious decision and that's what I'll do, you know?
Wow.
But,
thank you for that. Thank you for that answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's amazing. I'm glad we had this time because you're one of those artists, that can be kind of elusive, and I don't think it's intentional. Like, we hear the music and we love the music, but we don't know a lot about who Raheem is, you know, behind the scenes on a deeper level. So I'm glad that we got to hear that. I can't wait.
It's
your new album, Decade of a Love King, is available everywhere on October 19th. What do you want your fans to take away from the next project?
What do I want my fans to take away from this project coming out?
Yeah.
Man, I want, you know, I realize, like, God is real, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's real. It's a real feeling. It's a vibration. It's an emotion, you know what I'm saying? And that, like, that it's no time like the present to be great, you know what I'm saying? It's no time like the present to want to be in love. It's no time like the present to use your message, you know, to bring people closer together, you know, not just in matters of the heart, you know, whether you're talking about matters of the heart, whether you're talking about politics, like, whatever it is, it's no time like the present to do that, you know, through your artistry, you know what I mean? Now this album in particular, I just want to be clear, if you're looking for Bulletproof or records like that, you might want to get a pen and pad. That the album you need to be listening to is the album that I put out last year around this time. It's called Footprints on the Moon, and it's under the group name The Crossroads. Once again, it's called Footprints on the Moon, and the album and the group name is called The Crossroads, and that's THECROSSRHODES. So that's Rose like the scholar. But if you're looking for the preacher Raheem Devine, you're not gonna get this on the album. This album that's coming out on October 19th. Decade of a Love King is to impregnate the world. You know what I'm saying? It's to inspire people to go get tested with your mate so you can be with the one you love. You know, protect yourself if you don't know what's going on, whatever. And it ain't for the 2 minute brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to hear something, if you're looking for a quickie or something, go put some Trey Songz on or something. There ain't no shot at Trey Songz, but that's my music. Play that for the one you want to walk down the aisle with. You want to take to meet your mom and your daddy, what have you. You know what I'm saying? Like, this some grown man. This some grown man. SHI, and you know the rest. All right.
All right. Thank you, Raheem. We appreciate you, everybody. Decade of a Love King is in stores October 19th. Raheem, you are a king. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Love. Thank you.
And we are back. This is the Soul 70 Show. Every Thursday night here, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the 6 o'clock Central and 7 o'clock on the East Coast. And we're back with our hosts, E.B. and Whitney. What a great interview, guys.
Yes, yes. What a great... I felt like it was an early Christmas gift for me.
It was outstanding. And I love his music also.
Yes.
But I had to ask the question, hey, is it okay that we play your music? And he said, absolutely. So Facebook, all right, did you hear that? All right, anyway, back to you. So let's see, what do we have coming up? Where's EB? Oh, we didn't lose
him. I'm right here.
Okay, EB, that was a fantastic interview.
No, yeah, it was. I had you on mute, and I was talking. I thought y'all heard me. Great interview.
I can't hear it.
It was a great interview. I was saying that Whitney and I were talking, and we learned so much that we didn't know. And I said Whitney was over there hot and bothered and stuff, like the girl in the five heartbeat.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Five heartbeat.
Yeah, oh, she said, uh-huh.
Sweating. To the girl in the seat.
Definitely. Okay, Whitney, I'm not going to Whitney, I was about to defend you, Whitney, but you just gave it up. Okay, all right.
Look, I've been listening to that man for a long time. So if I would have been anything less than that, it wouldn't have been right. Like, you can't just listen to Raheem all these years and just feel regular inside. Like, no, that's not how it works.
Nah, we got a great show. It's gonna be fun. Q-Lynn is away on vacation. I think she had to go to Mexico or something to get rid of some drugs she had bought. in her place, we're here, and we have two special guest hosts. We have Miss Helen Collins, who's been on the show before. She's a podcaster. And Whitney's sister, Haley Robinson of As Told by Her. Are you guys on the line?
I am here. I am here as well.
Uh-oh.
Wow. EB, I think we have to give it up.
They are friends of the show. They are special guests. We got that in the budget. So we got the people that come. They actually just come sit by the mic and clap. We got y'all two here, and we haven't talked to y'all. And we just talked to Haley a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Helen, we haven't seen since Thelma was about to marry eBay to Africa Prince on Good Time. That was a long time ago. Cause she gave up pork and everything. So that was a real long time ago. We are glad to have both of y'all back, cause y'all always make it fun around here. We're going to jump into these savvy updates. We got a lot of emails. We backed up on emails. So I think Whitney has a couple that she wants to read off, and we can weigh in on some situations and answer some questions if you're ready, Whitney.
Okay, yep, I've got them pulled up. So this one is, how do y'all deal with Q and all these jokes? I enjoyed that Whispers in the Mood song, haven't heard in a while. Y'all get that money and get that app. LMFAO, I just started catching up on the shows. Is Whitney a returning guest that's related to Q? Is she the cousin from that Back in the Day show? How y'all know each other? That is all one big paragraph. So I read it the way it was written. And then there's two more questions, two official questions after that, which are, Will Brown, do you want to cut her off sometimes when she's talking? LOL, keep it solid. I'm guessing he's talking about Q.
Yep, I sure do.
And then the second one is for EB. How did you get that name? Is it an Eric B / Rakim play on words?
So EB for Prez, if anybody is hip hop fans, they will know about Eric B as president from Eric B and Rakim. And my actual name is Eric B. And so my mom is of that era where she grew up during like Motown and Philly International, Stax, but she came of age and matured during hip hop. So that was one of her favorite songs, and there's a line in the song, Eric B is president, is no tricks in 86, it's time to build. And that's actually the year I was born. So I grew up with her rapping that song to me all the time, which is crazy because I'm not big on hip hop, but I listen to old school hip hop because that's what I heard. So yeah, that's where my name comes from.
Nice. Oh, and this was Jalen Williams that asked that. And to answer his question, yes, I am that cousin from that back in the day show. So yeah, I guess I will be known as that cousin from
that
now
cousin.
On. Yes, from this point forward. Next one, hi Soul Savviness Radio Show. I just want to say I really, really love the advice you gave. There's been a lot of things that have been taking place since I last wrote you. First, me and my boyfriend decided after a long talk to just be friends. He moved to LA in late June to continue on his career, and this realization that even though you might think someone is the one, they may not be the one for you. I guess I always found myself comparing every man when I was young and stupid in my 20s to now and what the dream should be. I've never looked at a man and what they wanted. And no, I don't want a pastor, LOL. I guess the breakup was just the right thing to do so I could truly find a man that fits me and be what that man desires in a woman so we could equally be in love. Till then, in the single girls club and enjoying it. Thanks again. You guys rock. I'm not sure what that advice was, but I'm glad we were able to help.
I remember that email. I do. I remember she wrote in and she was asking, her and her boyfriend had been together, but they hadn't made any talks about being permanent. And she was saying that he was thinking about a move out of the state to LA, but they hadn't discussed his move at all. And ooh. I think QN and I both agreed. We were just like, he's not the one. Like, he don't really, you know, he's not the one for
right.
me. I think right. I probably was a little harsher. I probably said, he don't want you, so go grab somebody else by the balls.
You probably said that.
I'm sure you did. Yes. And you know, I remember that also. And, you know, I think my statement there was, if the knucklehead wants to leave, let him go.
That's right. And I'm glad. What's her name? Whitney?
This is Miss Bailey Dixon. She followed the advice.
Bailey, I'm glad that you followed that advice. So now you can flourish and you can find somebody who appreciates and values what you bring to the table the way that you deserve for them to appreciate and value that.
That's right. And if Mr. L.A. calls later after he figures out he made a mistake, do not take the call. And if you do, hey, it's on you.
That's real. That's real. All right, this one is from Aaron Conley. How long have y'all been doing this show? I only ask that because you all seem to have a lot of fun, like you're real friends outside of doing this show. Have y'all had experience in radio? How did you get this job, if you don't mind me prying? I just recently started listening when you guys interviewed Charlie Baril. Y'all ask great questions. More people should know about this. I like how you all don't schoolgirl gossip and talk intelligently. More black shows should do the same. Hope you see this. Well, thank you, Aaron. We do see it.
Wow.
You know, like, that was dope.
Well, that's a great question because, EB, how long have you been on the show?
I've been on the show, my first show, well, okay, so I'll tell my story. QN found me on Twitter in 2017, and June is Black History Month for those who don't know, and she asked me to come and be a guest on the show. So I did it, and she asked me to come back and be a guest, and I did it again, and then she eventually asked, hey, would you just like to come on as a co-host? So it's been a little over a year, maybe a year and like 4 months now that I've been on the show. And all because, right. you know, QLin and I vibe musically. I didn't know anybody before. QLin, so what happened was QLin used to sell my Uncle Coke back in South Carolina because, you know, she's a dealer.
He said coke.
Okay. At first, I'm saying, women, hold it. Are you talking about Coca-Cola? So I thought, maybe.
He said cocaine. He clarified it after. He said cocaine.
That powder. So that's what happened.
This is
that's
too
how
good.
He first ran across paths, and then when she found me on Twitter. Because I'm musically, you know, I love music and she loves music and we tend to like the same music and we knew about artists that a lot of people typically wouldn't know about that are the same, you know. So yeah, that's right. And I didn't know Will before. I didn't know Whitney before. They're like family now. Like I love being on the shows. Right? I mean, but Soul Savages was a show, I think, a year before I got on, or 6 months before I got on.
Right. It was just...
Will gave Linda the opportunity to bring it, yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. It was about a year before, 6 months to a year before, because it was just me and Q Lynn. And so what happened, I messed up. One time she said something. I had gone to get a glass of Pinot Grigio. I came back so I didn't hear the whole conversation, right? And so just because of that, I messed up something. And next thing I know, she had hired you and fired me. I said, honey, hell you gonna fire me? I'm the owner and the CEO, the engineer. So EB, you've been outstanding and a welcome addition. Besides, that means you have to put up with her a whole lot more than I do.
I do. I gotta keep the feds off. You know they're looking for it. That's why I'm here too. It's not an easy job, but it's one that I enjoy.
Okay, so let me ask you, EB, is that the real story? Is she on the run?
She's not on the run yet. That's why she and Tijuana giving back what she got. If she don't give back what she got, then we're gonna be on the run with J&B. We're gonna be on the run for real. So she's giving back what was given to her.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, it Whitney, you know, Helen and Haley. You know, it serves her right because, see, she put out this rumor that EB was off a week before last, right? And said he was out there selling his brand new album that, you know, I go to church, but I still smoke weed or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
<that's right.
laughs> So, EB, way to go. I love it.
Ooh, shoot. Hey. Oh, y'all crazy. Okay, this one is from Keith Repart. I hope I said that right. Hi, I'm Keith. I'm a huge 60s and 70s rhythm and blues lover. This is my first time hearing a podcast cater to different topics about music. The hosts are really crazy. That is true. And the young lady that is always yelling at the engineer is a hoot. Everybody else sort of lets her... Everybody else sort of lets her wild side out and jump in sometimes in the Prince birthday show. LOL, do you guys act the same in real life or is this just for the show ratings? I can tell you personally because I've probably known Q Lynn longer than anybody else since I'm the cousin from back in the day. That is definitely how she acts in real life. Like, that is her. That's her. That's real. She's not playing. That's really how she acts.
Oh, that's where we all are. Nothing's phony here, folks.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
we all, like, I probably like a bit more outspoken sometimes, but then again, I'm moody. So some weeks I got everything to say, some weeks I don't really have a lot.
That's true.
So yeah, so you're getting the same person, and depending on, you know, this is internet radio. Will is in San Bernardino. Whitney, where are you again?
I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
He's in Tulsa. I'm in Brooklyn. And I travel a lot for work, so sometimes depending on the Thursday and if we're recording, if I've had a bad day at work or if I'm at home with my family in South Carolina, like I'll be trying to record the show and my grandma coming, baby, you want some grits? And I'm like, radio, like, this is a real thing. And if I get bad at her, and then I'm like, I'm just gonna shut down. I'm just gonna mute my phone and shut down because this is not working for me. But I think, we've all talked offline. Like I've talked to Will. I've had conversations with Whitney. I've had conversations with Q Lynn. Everybody is the same. What you're getting online is genuine. No one is putting on a Yeah, Q-Lin's still slinging that powder, though.
That's right. That's right. Either, you know, she's probably slinging it. And this y'all that tried to, what is that, stalk a new boyfriend or something like that. I heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
But whoever you are, hey, be careful because you know, she's going to cheat. She will cheat on you. She said it live on air. So yeah, you may not want to go there, right? Yeah. She said
she let them know up front. She told them up front. She so did. They know, right?
Well, she does say that she's almost loyal. She says she's almost loyal.
That's
so.
What it is. Yeah.
Almost loyal. Yeah. But what she didn't tell them is that now you got to go into witness protection and your family's on the run because she's slinging that powder. So, I mean, was she really honest? Did it really happen?
I didn't know she was on the run until here recently, so that's actually news to me. So I appreciate you letting me know because I wouldn't last in jail. I'm not.
Listen,
I don't think I'm built for that.
Hey, cousin from back in the day, you watch out at the next family reunion. If you see the man feds roll up,
yeah, that's right. Yep, you know those dark, those black Cadillacs with the tinted windows. Look, hey, somebody's watching.
That's
look,
right.
Y'all ain't gotta tell me twice. And our last one is coming from Mr. Michael Richards, and he says, "Hello, host of Soul Savviness Show. Are you ever afraid to speak your mind on this show? And have any dang? And has anything you may have said gotten you in hot water outside of the show? Also, wow. Also." So, you ever get mad at each other or get tired of talking on the show?
Dang, who is that laughing? Is that Will?
Yep. Oh.
Yeah, it's coming from the soul. That's his laugh when he's really tickling him. You get all of that.
You know, actually, we really don't get mad at each other. I mean,
there's nothing to get mad about, really.
Really, no, because somebody said, because Q-Lin, someone had asked that before, said, hey, why are you guys arguing and stuff? I said, Q-Lin, don't they already know? They need to watch the show a little, or listen to the show a little bit longer. Hey, it's all, we're just having fun. And when we rib each other, yep, we mean it, but we get over it, you know, so.
True, so, yeah.
No.
Yeah, no. I don't want to say it's a job because you know sometimes when you enjoy what you're doing, you don't consider it a job. But if you hear us arguing or whatever, most of the time it's either A, something that we're very passionate about, and or B, it's playful banter and people take it seriously, but. I mean, I think that's just, that's Studio W in itself. I think everybody on the network, all of the shows, all of the hosts, everybody's passionate about what they're broadcasting and everybody has that little playful banter. So no, like Q-Lin and I actually talk a lot off air. You know, Whitney and I had an illicit affair before she, got engaged.
Why you always trying to get me in trouble? Like, you weren't supposed to say nothing. You just letting it all out now.
You know,
telling the whole world.
Oh,
family is listening to the show. Now I got to go and explain all of that.
Yeah, but you got some explaining to do, Lucy.
Hey, we was going off that powder. We didn't know what we was doing. Wait.
Did you knock over the mirror?
Go ahead. What did you say, Will?
No, I just said, did you knock over the mirror? I heard somebody knock over something. You didn't knock over the mirror, right?
Will, I thought that was your Pinot Grigio getting knocked over.
I thought it was a Pinot.
No, I'm trying to take a break so I can refill, but you guys keep on talking.
My bad.
I was telling Whitney, there's one more email that she forgot to read, and I wanted this one read this week because Helen is here, and I really
Please read it.
No, I want you to read it, Whitney, because I'm going to chill until it's time for me to answer.
Oh boy.
Okay, hold on. Let me go back, because, yep, I sure did. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm so glad. Helen, how you doing?
Oh,
How you doing, baby?
I'm doing really well. I'm scared. I'm scared.
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared.
What is in this email?
Okay. This is from Nicole. The subject of the email.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Nicole, say her whole email address. We need to hear it.
Oh, okay. It is Nikki Glam, 1982.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So the subject of this email is Beyonce hate is a mental problem.
Okay.
EB.
No, okay.
What? No, there's a whole thing. EB sure does say a lot against Beyonce to be a guru of music because because you magically don't know they're talking about Coachella this week. She was given a platform and she chooses, I'm reading it as it's written, chooses to highlight HBCUs. highlight HBCUs and put on a show-stopping performance, but you don't want to talk about that. Oh, okay. Name somebody that sings better, works better, dances better than she. No, I won't wait. Nobody does. Give her respect. Give her respect, not just when it's convenient to say. If you don't like she has real fans, that's a personal problem. You pull in all kinds of hater moves. That's not cute. Put some ointment on this sting, lover of Beyonce, since you always throw in salt, and then there are six B's after that.
Dang.
Oh,
damn.
Evie?
Dang.
Evie, you all right?
Mm-hmm. Right? Helen, let me, okay. See, and I wanted this read because Helen is a Beyonce fan, and I think the last show Helen was on,
we started
talking about Beyonce, but we couldn't get into it. The show was about to end or whatever. So this means Helen's going to have to come back because I think we should have a Beyonce show.
We have to. No, it's not even an option.
I feel like we should have a Beyonce show. Now to Miss Nikki Glam 1982 at yahoo.com. Hey, Nicole. Hey, girl. Hey, listen.
Hey, sis.
Hey, sis. I don't hate Beyonce. I actually, if you listen, I give Beyonce her props. Actually, we are playing a Beyonce song that I picked later in the show. I think the issue is Beyonce fans, I'm not going to say all, I'm going to say most. I'm not going to say all because I don't know where Helen falls on that spectrum. She's our special guest and I don't want to disrespect her. They're delusional about a lot of stuff and that clouds their judgment. I think Nicole asked something about they were talking about Coachella and I'm a music guru. I never professed to be a guru. I'm a musicologist and I know a lot about music. But as stated earlier, I grew up on Motown and Stax and Philly International, Uptown Records, Taboo, SOS Band, like stuff like that. So why would I watch Coachella? Like that's like Nickelodeon for adults. I don't listen to that. Like I think I don't even know who was at Coachella, honestly. I know Beyonce was there because it was very popular. But I don't know who else was there. Like Coachella next year, I did see the announcement the other day. It's Kanye West, Donald Glover, and some other fake black person. So it's basically the soul impersonator tour. Like people, like that's not where my taste lies. Like now, if Coachella has like Mary J, Erica, Jill, Lettucey, Joe, like that's for grown people, so I would tune in for that. Not saying that Beyonce fans are children, because Beyonce has some great music. I'll give her that. I think my issue is with Beyonce is I see her greatness and I hear what she can do because she has a great voice, and I'm mad because she doesn't do it. Like I want her to be a soul savior. I want her to sing R&B music and not care and it be soulful and not pop or for children, and it'd be like real sincerity in her music, like a real life experience. Like, I don't think she's done that yet. I think she's gotten very close, but I don't think it's come all the way through. So when I talk about her, that's my issue. It's never like I'm hating on her. Like, go live your life. You know, you fake had your first baby and then you had your real baby.
Oh,
and,
my God.
You got your husband is like, you know, a king of hip-hop. And, you know, I want her to live her best life. And, no, I don't want her to. She is living her best life because Beyonce could buy me 300 million times. Actually, no, I was about to tell y'all where I live. But I live somewhere that's very closely related to Beyonce. I'll say it that way. So, no, I don't hate Beyonce. And then she was like, name people who sing better, dance better, all that other stuff. I can name lots. And not, that's no diss to Beyonce, but that's saying that there is more to the music industry than Beyonce. And I think that's the burden that an artist of her caliber carries. The Michaels, the Princes, the Arethas, the Beyonce, they get put out there like, oh, this is the best, and you know, no one else can live up to this, but I think that does a disservice to all of the other artists in the industry who work just as hard or more and don't get half the recognition. Raheem was just saying about the DMV, the DC artists, they don't get their recognition. I know artists who make their living off of touring, not endorsements, not lip syncing at the Super Bowl, not you know, mm-hmm. any of that, not HBO specials. I know artists who literally,
oh,
they tour 10 to 11 months a year. Not saying that Beyonce couldn't do that, because she could, because I would agree she's probably the hardest working woman. Well, one of the hardest working women. I'm not going to give her number one, but one of the hardest working women right now. She don't do what I want her to do, and I think that's my big problem. But I
thank you for finally
love,
saying that.
Listen, I love Kitty Cat. Kitty Cat is like my number one Beyonce song of all time. That's not a song I'm playing, but it's, I feel like that was like really close to like real Beyonce. You just a Houston hood rat, girl. You singing. And it makes you, and not in a bad way. It makes you relatable.
I know what you mean.
Like, I can relate. It's like, oh, you real like everybody else. Like, hey, diamonds on my neck. I'm like, okay. But then it's like, I get songs like Superpower, and I love with Frank Ocean. I'm not a Frank Ocean fan at all, but I love Beyonce, because I will say this, in terms of singing in your lower register,
I
can't think of many people who can touch Beyonce on that. I can think of like three, but you know, she got that on lock, and it's beautiful when she does it. In terms of being a businesswoman, Beyonce got that on lock. Like, she is a businesswoman. In terms of like, oh, I forgot you asked about Coachella and when she was highlighting the HBCUs. Let me speak on that real quick. I'm just gonna spend 1 minute on this. Oh. So the trend now is to be pro-black. Mm-hmm. It is to be pro-black and feminist and unapologetic about it. If you look at Beyonce in terms of her artistry, where she's come from and where she is now, those have never been big until they were trends. Like, she didn't sing about it, she didn't hint at it. There are a lot of artists that I do know who have been doing it, and like for 20, 30, some 40, some even 10, 5 years, that's the platform they're built on, that's what they do. Beyonce did it, and I'm not completely convinced. It's like, oh, this is, you know, not saying that's not how she really feels, but she could feel that way. But it's like, I want more. Like, I don't want you to do this because now everybody's talking about it. You know, you can get on Twitter right now, and if you say something about, I love black women, black women are great, black women, you know, this, not putting down black women, but you can say this, and you'll get a million retweets, because that's like the affirmation that black women like to see, and they should see, because I think they deserve it. But I think it's gotten to the point to where now it's just, it's popular and it's a trend. If the trend now was, I don't know, selling cocaine like Q Lynn does, then I think Beyonce would probably start singing about selling cocaine. Like, that's it. And that goes back to my major issue. You're just not doing what I want you to do. You have a voice like none other. Like, you can go, like, you can sing, but you don't do with it what I want you to do with it. But
I'm not saying I'm a Beyonce hater. I'm not a Beyonce lover. But I appreciate her place in the business. Now I'm going to ask Helen. Helen, how you feel about my Beyonce hate? You think I'm mentally ill? A little crazy?
First of all, shout out to Nicole. Grammar was sketchy, but I got the message.
Grammar was sketchy, but I got the message. All right.
So the thing is, EB, I actually agree with some of the points you made. I do want Beyonce to get back to R&B music. I want her music to feel real again. I am the type of Beyonce fan. I don't listen to Beyonce albums. I don't relate to them. I don't have millions of dollars. My husband is not Jay-Z. I'm not, you know, I don't relate to her lifestyle per se. But when it comes to giving credit where credit is due, it's funny hearing you talk about it because musicians and people that are heavily involved in musicology, like you said, like my husband, for instance, he's a drummer. And that realm is so different from mainstream.
Yeah.
And you come to get access to all these people. Nobody knows their name, but they are the baddest. And so you're talking from a point of view that most people don't, you know, I mean, we don't know these people. We don't hear their music.
Right.
So I get that, but still, as far as longevity, there's always a
No, I know. You can be hostile today. You die. Look.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
The longevity, the pure entertainment. I just went to the On the Run tour. You already know I was going to drop a bag on that. And it was great from start to finish. Like, I don't know where you can go and get that kind of experience. I can't name somebody where I could get that experience from. I don't want to go. I wouldn't pay that money for Jill Scott. I wouldn't pay that money for India Irie. I wouldn't pay that money for Thundercat. I'm not paying that money for that. I want an all-around entertainment, and she is the queen.
And she's the queen of that. No, yep, you're right.
So when people say, I feel like the Beehive's point is being misconstrued by the crazy Beehive members.
Hey, Nicole.
But the core of the Beehive, the only thing we want y'all to know is that when it comes to the conversation of greatest living entertainer, there is nobody else coming close to Beyonce. Now we can talk about why
that is.
And I'm
glad you said that. You said greatest living entertainer, and I'm glad you said that because I agree. I mean, I think you can find better, like if you're looking for better singing, you can find that. If you're looking for better dancing, I think you can find that. But you won't find the complete package in anybody but Beyonce. She is the package. There is a show. It is an experience. Like, I agree with that. Like, you're not going to find nobody else who, well, not at least not on her level, who comes close.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And if any of the listeners are listening and you think somebody else can give you a better package in terms of all of our entertainment than Beyonce, please email because I can't think of anybody. She is the one.
Yeah. And there's so much more to like unpack. You made so many points and some of them I have counter arguments. Other ones I agree with and want to elaborate on, but we don't have time for that. So.
You know what? We're going to do a Beyonce show 1 week. Yeah, definitely. We're going to do a Beyonce show and I'm going to pick all Beyonce songs that I like. Some I love, but most I like. I remember my mama loved that song All Night Long and no black man wants to hear his mama singing about All Night Long because that was kind of disturbing.
The visual. Oh no.
Want to kiss up and roll up and fill up on you. What? Mama, what? Don't get in the kitchen and make my greens. You're talking about kissing up and rubbing up. I ain't feeling it.
No. Nope, got you, Evie, on that. Yeah, you're right.
All right, so if Will is ready, we will go to break right now. We had
Big Jim Wright, producer. I know Q-Lynn loves Big Jim Wright. She said he's one of her favorites of all time, and I love and appreciate him. And since Q-Lynn is playing in that powder in Tijuana, I figured that we should play, for the rest of the show, everything else we're playing has been written or produced by Big Jim Wright. So if Will's ready, we can go to break.
I took, cause I can't wait to be closer to you.
Baby, you're so sweet, you give me cavities. I get a stomach ache if I can't be with you.
At night I fall asleep and I don't wanna wake up.
Cause you are my dream, my heavenly creation. Nobody that I only wanna share with you.
Thank you. I do some things that make you so confused. One minute I'm so in love, and the next I can't stand you. But if you may ask, it's just the things that you do that reminds me of all of the mess that I've been through. I got bad days with me. Don't want to make you pay for somebody else has done to me.
Welcome back. Hey, we're back. That was the Big Jim mix. EB.
Yeah. What'd you say, Will?
I was going to ask, who is Big Jim?
So Big Jim is, the producer James Big Jim Wright, who, writer, producer, organist, he's produced everybody, like everybody you heard there. The first song, Nikki Glam 1982 was Beyonce and Bilal. With Helen and I were talking about it's a good Beyonce, it's very soulful. But he's produced Blue Cantrell, Yolanda Adams, Luther Vandross, Mary J. Blige, Maya, Ann Nesby, Carl Thomas, Deborah Cox, Patti LaBelle, Indy Irie, the Isley Brothers, Usher, Aretha Franklin, the OJs, Chaka Khan. He's written and produced for just about everybody. And all of those songs, it was a mix that I made, but all of those songs were songs that he's written or produced. And of course you heard the Anthony Hamilton, and you heard the Beyonce and the Bilal, and you heard the Deborah Cox. Like he was important in music. And I know this week when the news of his passing came out, if you follow Q-Lin on social media, Q-Lin Green, she was devastated by it. Like he's one of her favorites. He's one of my favorites too. Actually, and everybody who's listening knows I'm a big Mary J. Blige fan. He actually co-wrote and co-produced my favorite Mary J. Blige song of all time. But yeah, so we had to, you know, pay homage to Big Jim, because he works with the old and the young. He did what Raheem is doing. He bridged the gap, and his music could translate. And I made that mix. If you're not following me on Mixcloud, www.mixcloud.com/EB4Prez, EB the number 4, PREZ. I got some more mixes over there. But me and Helen were talking just now. Helen loves Big Jim. She was going in about the Mariah stuff and Beyonce song. Like, Helen, Helen's husband is a musician, so mm-hmm. I get it.
Hey, is Big Jim the guy? You remember when Monique had her talk show?
Yes.
I think I may have. Is he the one that's saying to do it? Do it.
Yes.
Do it so you're satisfied?
Yes.
Okay.
Whatever it is. Yes. Listen. Yes. Like, we're going to play the Janet song later in the show. But Janet's I Get So Lonely, and the version we're playing is the version where Big Jim is actually playing the keyboard and singing with Janet. He was singing. I don't know if she was really singing. Lip syncing, but
stop it.
Okay, you're right. But yeah, no, Big Jim is very important to music, to R&B, and you know, Q-Lin made the show, so Savin is she wanted to highlight R&B, so that's what we're doing.
Outstanding. Real good stuff, really good stuff. So we've got a lot on your coming up here. Now EB, now do you want to get into the 6 minutes of rage, or we're going to play this ghosting thing here?
You know what? Go to the 6 minutes of rage, because I think we all need some political enlightenment as well as a venting session. So we don't. I would like to jump into the 6 minutes of rage if possible.
And that is very possible. Yes, we're back, and this is the 6 minutes of rage on the Soul Savage Show. Folks, everybody needs to be enraged about what's going on. Are we talking about, oh my God, this administration, the President of the United States, United States Supreme Court, or is Barnum and Bailey effing circus? I can't believe it. You should be outraged on everything that's going on, and I'm not going to say hold me back, because I want to get started with this that's going on. Can you believe this? Supreme Court, the highest court of the land, Ford versus Kavanaugh. What is his name? Is it Brett Kavanaugh? All right. Is it Bart Kavanaugh, or is it Barth Kavanaugh? You know, hey, he likes beer. Now, this thing about it, every woman, man, and child out here should be outraged for what's going on out of in the United States right now. No more is it truth the truth. There are alternative facts, and there are also variations of the truth. Folks, when I grew up, I got my beat because I told a lie. It was no black and white. It was no alternative facts. You told a lie to your mama. You got your butt beat, and you already know that. Now, think about this. Who in the world would take a lie detector test? Who in the world would go out there and they would even change the aesthetics of their home because they have claustrophobia? Who in the world would go to therapy if something didn't happen? And then they say, look, it's 100% this guy right here. Now, you can tell. Now, you have a judge. Now, who wants to go in front of a judge, whether it's a traffic ticket, a parking ticket, any kind of ticket, a divorce, with separations or whatever it is, who wants to go to a judge that says, hey, oh, yes, I'm just as, oh, I'm even more arrogant than you are. Oh, yes, I make up my mind before things that happens. And guess what? I like beer. Then you've got Agent Orange out there. You know who he is. You got Lindsay Graham. You got Cockeyed Sally, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and you got Kellyanne Conman up there just telling lies. Spin, spin, spin. It makes your head spin. You know what? You've got also with this phony FBI investigation that's going on right here. Yes, what they say. Oh, the Republicans say it was thorough. Come on, folks. See, you wouldn't put that, you wouldn't take that from your children. You wouldn't take that from your friends. Yet, you say, okay, I'm not going to vote because guess what? It's not going to make any difference. Get your butt out there and vote in November. Then you've got the schools. You've got, oh boy, did you see this march or this rally in Washington, D.C. today? People getting locked up. You know, you've got everything. You've got the Congress is getting up there that's lying to you. You've got the Senate that's lying to you. You have no idea what's going on. But folks, EB, you posted something earlier today, and then I posted something back. I said distraction because, you know, there's a lot that's going on. You've got North Korea. You got Russia. You've got China. You've got trade tariffs. You've got so many things up in the air, and people do not know which way to look. And I understand that you are confused, but guess what? A lie is a lie. You definitely can't get around with it. Hey, one person's telling the truth and one person is not. And how in the world are you going to conduct an FBI investigation when you got 28 witnesses that could corroborate and collaborate these ladies' stories, but the FBI, they did not even talk to them. They didn't even talk to Professor Ford, and they did not interview Bart Kavanaugh either again, because guess what? I guess he was drinking beer. Now, the things about it, folks, we really need to pay attention to it. And like I said before, in this opening, everybody should be outraged what's going on. And when I say distractions, I mean distractions away from things that are really happening. You know, you still have kids in cages, don't you? You still have, in Flint, Michigan, there's no good drinking water there. Do you know you still have schools in Baltimore that have no heat? They had to put space heater in a damn school last year. And you've got this Nancy DeVos. Are you kidding me? Nobody's paying attention to that. She's taking money from the public schools and giving it to the private schools. And these, and she's profiting from that. And how about Uncle Ben Rice Carson? That coon is sitting around and guess what? He's raising your rent so Trump can get paid. Because you already know that Trump and Kushner, oh boy, if you know, Jared Kushner is the smartest one in the whole bunch. He's keeping his damn mouth shut because he doesn't want to get caught up in this mess. But guess what, brother? You are already there. And there's so many things that's going on. And guess what? The federal judges also said that the United States can sue this cat also over the Emoluments Clause. You know what the Emoluments Clause is? The Emoluments Clause is saying, I don't have a right as the President of the United States to be profiting off of the United States without getting permission or disclosing that. Oh, boy. There's also the taxes. The taxes. Oh, remember. Oh, if I win, if I get President of the United States, I will give you my taxes. Well, guess what, guy? It is 2 years later, and we still haven't seen those taxes. And you know why? Because that $1 million loan that your dad gave you, hey, how in the world did that turn into a $413 million gift? Folks, this is By 6 Minutes of Rage, and you could tell I'm outraged, and everybody else should be. Back to you, E.B.
Well, I think that we should just jump into the Savvy News because we want to talk about, I mean, no, not the Savvy News, the Raggedy People News. We want to talk about the Dr. Ford and Brett Kavanaugh questioning this last week. I'm going to ask,
Haley if she's been keeping up with what's going on with Kavanaugh.
Okay, so I think last time I was on here, I tried to tell y'all that I've been trying not to watch this mess because it's too much. But I did watch last weekend. Me and Whitney were at home, and so we watched a little bit of it on TV. And I just can't believe he was up there talking about some of the stuff he was talking about. Like, that whole outburst with the beer and all of this stuff, it was just, like, too much. You know,
I
like,
beer.
I don't have much to say about it, but I was just kind of sitting there in awe, like, that's the best you have right now.
Yep.
It was a lot.
Can you believe that? Was that Whitney? Whitney, could you believe that? It was like a punk 70-year-old privileged kid that's able to talk back. And you talking about a Supreme Court. And this guy is acting like that. He's going to ask this senator, well, what about you? Have you ever blacked out? Come on, what the hell?
Right.
And then you got the Agent Orange up there in a doggone rally, last night or what, the night before, talking about, oh, well, was it upstairs? Was it downstairs? Oh, I only had one beer, and talking about ruining somebody's lives. And if you ladies out there, if any lady out there vote for him, I really feel sorry for you.
Disgusting.
It's past disgusting. And what are you teaching your kids?
53% who are letting this happen. The 53% of white women who have voted not only Trump into office, but who have allowed this administration to flourish and do what they want. It's almost like, I don't want to say it's shocking, but, you know, I kind of stood back a little bit. Like, if you see another woman up there telling her truth and talking about how she was assaulted, and you still stand behind this man, you still stand behind this party who so vehemently wants this man be confirmed. It's troubling. And it's like, okay, and I get that we all not going to want each other to win at some point in our lives. Somebody's not going to want somebody to win. But shouldn't we all want us as a whole to win? Shouldn't we all fear what they are trying to do right now? And I'm so glad Will brought up, you know, that stuff about it being a distraction, because everything that they've done so far has been a distraction from what they're really trying to do.
Yeah.
And I want people to pay attention and definitely show up at the polls, because I mean,
you know, EB, you're so right. And Whitney, Haley, and Helen, you know, I'm just lay it on the line right now. As a man, I don't think I have a right to judge how you are feeling if you are violated in any way. I don't have a right to say, well, why did you wait so long? Or how come there are no collaboration or anything like that? And the facts are true. Now, have men been falsely accused sometimes? Hell yeah, they have. But guess what?
Yeah.
That's a low percentage based on the absolute truth. Absolute truth.
Right.
And I think that has something like less than 10% that men are falsely accused. And even, I don't care. Find out. Get the facts. Find out. And you have better ways of finding out now than you did in the past, because right now you have DNA and you have a lot of forensic things that you can do to get to the bottom of it. But as a man, I have no right to tell you what to do with your body. I have no right to do that. I have no right to tell you how you are feeling if you've been violated. All right. And vice versa, you see. So for these old crocodile looking clowns that's up there, gooseneck McDonald and these guys right there. I mean, good Lord. And then don't forget about what's that guy's name? My favorite Martian. Jeff Sessions. We can't forget about him either. But anyway, but the point that I'm getting at, folks, you got all of these guys up there that's wielding their power over the masses. I mean, if this, how close are we getting to a dictatorship?
Extremely.
extremely. That's what I believe the commander in chief quotations
yep.
want is that dictatorship.
You know,
and I think that's part of the reason for the distractions. Like a lot of people are looking at what's going on right now in this moment, but you really need to go back a few years and really start looking kind of like at the end of the Obama administration, because I feel like that's more so when things started getting set up. Like all of the stuff that's happening right now, to me, the way that I see it, it was stuff that was already in the works. The types of things that we are seeing right now, like now things are starting to come to a head and now people are flabbergasted, they're concerned, they're like, how is this happening? It didn't just happen a week, 2 weeks ago, or 6 months ago. It's been going on. But now people are outraged and they're upset. And the problem is we're kind of like up against the fence. Like, well, what do we do? Because you have all the people that you have who are at the forefront, who are leading the country. They're basically untouchable. If we got Ja Rule going to jail because he ain't paid his taxes, but our commander-in-chief is leading up front, and we don't know nothing about his taxes. Like, what does that tell you? That we're in two totally different areas. Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta step back and look at things as a whole. Don't just look at these individual moments in time. Look at the whole picture. Take the whole thing into consideration. And when you go vote, actually go vote for somebody that you feel like is gonna have your back. If you feel like Trump is gonna have your back, go vote for Trump. I don't feel like he got my back right now, and I don't feel like most of these other people do either, so that's not where I'm going to vote. So I ain't gonna tell you what to do, I'm just telling you what to look at, cause it's not right now. Like, we still living, we young out here, we got a lot of life left to live.
Yeah.
If this is how you like living,
yeah,
then okay, cool. Keep on going about it, but like the way that I'm seeing this stuff right now, I'm like, yo, I need to start getting my underground shelter together.
Okay.
Let me store my canned goods. I might need to go on the grid for a minute. Like, let me get all my electronics together. Like, yeah, like maybe I need to move elsewhere for a little bit. Let stuff calm down. So this is out of control.
It's definitely out of control.
But I even think,
yep, you sound like my daughter. She's talking about, hey, Dad, maybe we need to get a bunker somewhere. You know, it's really crazy, and you're 100% correct. And speaking of taxes, and EB, if my memory serves me correctly, Al Capone murdered people and committed so many different crimes. What took him down was taxes. Now, think about this. This Trump empire, and this is only a tip of the iceberg, that he claimed that his dad loaned him $1 million, right? But no, we found out that he was making $200,000 a year when he was 3 years old. Now, you know damn well he didn't go to work anywhere to make $200,000 a year. And by the time he was like 8 or 10 or something like that, he was well worth over $1 million. Now, he claimed he got $1 million loan from his dad. Okay, actually, if it turned out to be that they were funneling money through all types of schemes and dummy corporations, that it came out to the equivalent of $413 million in today's dollars, and they didn't pay any taxes on that. The dad was supposed to pay over half a billion dollars, and guess what? That one particular year, they ended up paying $52 million. Over $500 million to $52 million. Come on, folks, and nobody's in handcuffs. Are you kidding me? All right, and you think about also that he also, this guy, look here, it tell you how genius he is. If you've got that kind of money, given that kind of money, how in the hell are you ever going to go broke and have to file bankruptcy, which he did four times? How do you lose that kind of money? I guarantee you give me $1 million right now, I'll never go broke. All right, but this guy right here got over $14 million, and then his dad also, he had an operative to go into that phony casino that he had that was losing money, and bought over $3.5 million worth of chips that they were never used. That's another form of money laundering, folks. And you mean to tell me that nobody's in handcuffs? Remember his also son says, guess what? We're getting an abundance of money from Russia. He said that about 4 years ago, but guess, Trump didn't know anything about Russia. I'll digress, folks.
I mean, first of all, I wanna preface this by saying, you know, shout out to my baby Blue Ivy, because I know you're probably making more money than Trump made when he was your age, but I don't want you to go the way of Trump. I don't want you to turn on us. I don't want you to do what he's doing. The fact that no one is under investigation, not even arrested, but just under investigation, like Paul Mooney said, y'all got the complexion for the protection. Like, y'all get through. Look, the IRS wrote me last year. I got audited. I'm like, what? I make $10,000 a year. Like, why am I getting audited? Yet, you got Trump sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, who has consistently lied about his taxes, not only his taxes, his family as well, what businesses he's involved with, his connections with Russia, and they're allowed to flourish and be free. Even, what's old girl's name? Nikki Glam, 1982? Yeah, you, Nikki. You probably sitting over there talking about me painting on Beyonce and sipping Dom Perignon and drinking your, eating your caviar. And why is it that the hardworking American people, like I think everybody on this show is, why do we suffer for, I was about to say the mistakes of the rich, but they're not mistakes, they're intentional. The evils of the rich, like, the whole country is suffering right now because Trump is basically on a war path. That's what he's on.
Mm-hmm.
He wants what he wants, and he wants it, how he wants it, and when he wants it. And we're all suffering, and we all, at some point, we have to stop, look in the mirror, and say to ourselves, this is enough. We got to wake up. It's not enough that we are doing our part. I think at this point, we have to encourage, not force, but encourage other people to do their part, because the country is falling apart. Like Mickey said, if you go back to the end of the Obama administration, that's when things started, you know, getting put in motion.
Right.
So we have to kind of have the conversation with ourselves, like, do we want to sink or swim? Because we're sinking right now.
Right.
Badly.
Yeah.
Hey, EB, you know what? I'm going to go back to the Whitney conversation also. I kind of think that it happened before that. I think that it happened when Obama, when he took office the first term, because, I remind everyone that as soon as he was inaugurated the first time, not the second time, but the first time, the Republicans got together, and this is what they said, which to me was should amount to treason. They should all have their asses locked up. And they got together and said, no matter what this man tries to pass.
Yeah.
Even if it's in the best interest of the country, mm-hmm. we are going to vote against it.
Yeah.
So it started back then. Oh, the seeds were planted. They just needed a clown to be at the front. Okay? They needed a drum major. They needed somebody that would do whatever they want to do, because he's so narcissistic and selfish that, oh, and guess what? Do you believe, or don't you know, that he's made money since he's been in that White House, which has to go back to that emoluments clause, folks? And I think we're going to see more things about that. And if you don't know what that is, and I'm paraphrasing because I'm not a lawyer, obviously, but, going back to that, that's because, if you don't have the right to benefit or profit off of your being the president of the United States. You shouldn't profit that. But guess what? These guys commit money fraud, money laundering, tax evasion, insider trading. They do a whole bunch of things, right, that they will frown upon you. And most of these guys are lawyers. And if they were judges, they would lock you up and throw away the key when they are doing this stuff every day. Excuse me.
Ooh, Will, you cussed.
I know, oh, and that's...
I know he mad. That's how I know he mad. That's okay, though. That's okay. I know. I'm just, man. I felt it, though. I felt that. But that's true. I forgot about that.
And you're right.
I think that's what I was saying, though. Like, there's so much that's going on. Like, it's hard to keep up with. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's went wrong. It's just hard to keep it all at the forefront.
Not only that,
But they tried to make sure that Obama didn't get the Supreme Court justice pick. And that's why we in this situation mm-hmm. now. Like, that's so crazy. But then, too, I think it's important to, like, well, for me, when I think about it, what's really disturbing is that a lot of people voted for Trump with hope that things would go the way that they are now. So, I mean, we can't, like, sit here and pretend as if this was an accident, because a lot of people wanted this, and they're getting exactly what they wanted. However, there's also a large number of us who are suffering because of, you know, their ill judgment. But no, a lot of people wanted this, and I think that's the saddest thing.
Yep, and you know, I think you're right about it. Is that Helen? Helen, was that you?
Yes, it was Haley.
Haley, yes, I think you're right. But see, the thing about it is, and let's be clear about the Obama Supreme Court pick, the reason why Obama didn't get his Supreme Court pick, because the Republicans, they held the House, they were in control of the House, and they wouldn't even bring right. the man on the floor for a vote. Mm-hmm. He never even had what Kavanaugh had, because the gooseneck, turtleneck McConnell wouldn't even let it on the doggone floor for mm-hmm. a vote. They blocked yep. it. They blocked it. Mm-hmm. And as far
they blocked it for months.
Oh, for mm-hmm. 10 months. For 10 solid mm-hmm. months until the new president was elected. They knew what they were yeah. doing, so mm-hmm. they planned. Oh, so the gig was up right then. So no, President Obama, and my understanding that he had I believe it was Merrill Garland, a qualified judge, but they wouldn't even give this man a vote.
Right.
They never interviewed him, right? And as far as Trump being elected, see, I tell you what, please, folks, let's not fool ourselves. Trump wasn't elected by the popular. He was elected by this phony, racist electoral college. He lost the popular vote by 3 million. Now, if you and I are playing a game of any sort, whether it's tennis, hockey, well, tennis, you got to win by two. But anyway, basketball, football, if I win by 1 point, I win, right? He lost by 3 million. But this racist populace, or this electoral college, is what elected him. But see, then you have to also look at what's going on, too, and which we're not paying any attention to, EB, and it's gerrymandering.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm glad you said that about real quick about the reason that Trump won the election, because people, it's common to see, you know, oh, get out and vote. We lost because y'all didn't vote, or we lost because of this. And I'm glad that people are encouraging their friends and family and acquaintances and enemies to vote, because it's important. It's a right that we as Americans have, that we should take advantage of. It's a right that all of our ancestors did not have. But stop telling people that we lost because y'all didn't vote. No. If we were going by popular vote, Hillary Clinton would be sitting in the Oval Office right now. But that's not what it is. The Electoral College is what put Trump in the White House. And I think it's important for people to keep that in mind. And speaking of Trump, I had Raggedy News, and this dude Kanye West, one of Trump's best friends now, keeps coming up. So, did any of you watch Saturday Night Live and see Trump?
No,
I mean not Trump. Kanye's speech.
No.
EB, honestly, I can't do that. I can't watch Kanye. Please forgive me.
Yeah, no, And this is what I'm saying to people who don't think that what Kanye is doing is dangerous. In this political climate, in what we have going on now, today, what he does is not only harmful and dangerous to us as a society, it is detrimental to us as black people, to people of color, to Asians, to Hispanics, Latino, American Indian, it's killing us. And I'm not sure if he's playing dumb or if he really is dumb.
EB, that's my question to you. That's my question. Folks, and I think that's a brilliant question. Is he really dumb? Or is he playing dumb? Is he playing to, the green, to the money? Is he doing,
Right.
Yeah. and which is also drink. Either way is dangerous. But I don't know. Maybe the panel can chime in. Whitney, Helen, Haley, and because I really want to know, is he really that damn stupid or is he that greedy?
I don't think it's either one. I really think Kanye thinks that this, I think he, now that he has his platform, like I don't know the, motivation for him to like feel this close and connected with Trump. I do not get that, but I do think that he feels like this is what he's supposed to be doing, that he's supposed to take this stand. I didn't watch SNL live. I went back. Cause Twitter was blowing up about Kanye. Questlove was tweeting about it. And so I went and found the videos and watched all of it. And like the rant that people are talking about, like Kanye felt, he said he felt attacked because people didn't want him to come out with his, Make America Great Again hat or whatever. And when he was talking about that, he had taken the hat off. And when he put it on, he was like, I came out with my, you know, Superman cape or something along those lines. And I was like, that's what makes you feel powerful. Like there's something in that to me. I don't know what it is, but I really don't. I do not think Kanye thinks that anything he is doing is wrong. I feel like he thinks he's empowered right now. And with someone like Trump in office, he feels he has like the ability to reach anyone. Like he is inspired the way that I see it. He's being inspired by all of this. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's the right way to go about it at all, but that's how it comes off to me. So I could be wrong.
No,
but that's how it looks.
I agree.
Wow.
For the most part, I just think that at this point, I think Kanye feels invincible. And so going along with like the inspiration for power and things like that, I think once you hit a position of that magnitude that it would be easy, I guess, to get caught up in that because you can't tell Kanye nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like we can quit buying his albums tomorrow. We can quit paying for all of this stuff that he's involved in and Kanye is going to be good. Like he's okay. So it doesn't really matter. I don't feel like in his mind that he can get any lower than where he is. So that's my thing. I don't think it's about money. Kanye got money. He has fame.
Wow.
You know, he got everything he wants. He's married. He got a family. Like he's good. He's doing exactly what he wants to do because he can. And I think that's scary within itself because he does have influence.
Right.
And we've talked about that. But he's comfortable. Like, he feels untouchable. You know, we've seen him fall apart on a stage. We've seen him arrive on a stage. You know what I'm saying? So this is just where he is. And I feel like he just thinks he can do it. And we can't stop him. Like, you know, he's just doing what he wants to do. It's sad, but I just think that's what it is.
Wow.
I think
that's
that
interesting.
I think I'm going to say one thing about the Kanye thing. I agree with everything that's been said. I do understand that not buying his albums, not giving him our money, that, I mean, like you said, Haley, either way, he's financially good. My desire is for his platform to be taken. You know,
right,
I feel
I
like
agree.
When people get that platform and they misuse and abuse it to the point that Kanye has, it's like, how can we forget about the money? Because I'm not buying his crap. No way. I never have.
Right.
But how do we take away that influence? Because I feel like that's what he thrives off of. Like you said, the power, the ability to speak something and people listen and you think you're influencing someone. How do we take something like that we gave to him?
Because
Kanye wasn't Kanye till we made him Kanye.
Right.
Amen.
So how do we, I mean, I think we need to shift the conversation in general to these people that we give fame to. Fame is, we give it to people with our attention and our money and our focus. So we have to start the conversation of how do we take that back?
Turn out the lights. Let's turn out the lights. You know, it's like if you don't pay the light bill, they're going to turn off your lights. Let's turn out the lights on Kanye, because you have to look at it. What is motivating him? Like you said, okay, if we stop, well, again, I have to agree, and I'm not sure who that was that said, you never bought his crap anyway, and neither have I, and we'll never buy it. but the point that I'm getting at is that people like that, what do they want? They want attention, and they want money. which it to them equates to power. And so if you have to look at it like that, how much is he like his cousin, Donald Trump? I mean, it's almost like they, it's mirror images of, because both of them are narcissistic. Both of them, they want the attention on them. Both of them say stupid stuff all the time. Anytime you can count on it. I mean, you can go down to Vegas and put $100 on that something. They're going to say something stupid and you'll win every time. So you have to look at that. So what it is, and I think you have to take one or two things from them. Because guess what? Without those two things, they will be very, very lonely people. That's the money and the power.
Absolutely.
Money, power, respect.
Yep, and that equates, I mean, check it out. Man, oh man, oh man. This is a fantastic, enlightening, hey, EB, I've got the ghost scene, clip pulled up, and I also have Janet Jackson put up. Which one do you want?
So this is what we're going to do. If Haley and Helen are both willing to come back next week, I would love to have a continuation of this Kanye conversation and get into more raggedy people and savvy news. But right now I think we should pull up the ghosting clip and then get into our topic for tonight, which is ghosting, because I want everybody to weigh in on that. Yeah, so ghosting.
Okay.
Don't call, just disappear.
You have no control. Why are you taking pictures of me? Why are you saying I love you mad early? Like, you didn't birth me. Ghosted.
You may slowly see me fade away. So I was dating a young lady.
He actually approached me and was very forthcoming about his interest to date me.
He was like perfect Nubian king, you know, locks.
You know, it was really nice. He was really cool.
Everything was great, even sleeping together.
We went to like a farmer's market for our first date. I was like, he's the husband.
So I'm texting her. You know, it was going okay in the beginning.
And then all of a sudden,
he dropped off the face of the earth. I never received a text back.
You just kind of stopped texting.
For months.
I even went as far as Facebook message. So what's up?
You stop calling.
Are you on vacation?
You hope they get the message.
Sometimes my mother ghosts me. Yeah, I gave birth to you, but I'm gonna just ignore these text messages, these calls. Mom just played me.
You make up all these excuses and then finally you realize they vanished.
I'm like a ghost. Poof. I don't think that for most people it's anything malicious.
It's always okay to ghost on people, because
if I preface any ghosting with, I'm not into you, I don't see this going that direction, I really see you as more of a friend, which is friendly ghosting.
It just means you're being honest.
Like, ask for the friendly ghost.
Obviously the issue lies when you can't communicate that.
Telling people certain things that they should already know is awkward. For example, if somebody's breath stinks, like Jesus Christ, you hope they don't say any H word, it's hard to tell them.
But there's definitely scenarios where you have to run.
Not everybody sees dead people. Some people do not know that they are being ghosted.
I don't want to say crazy.
Crazy?
Some crazies.
If you're crazy, you deserve to be ghosted on. He must be hurt. Send out carrier pigeons.
The ghostation has not caught on.
Another reason why people ghost is because
she's too needy.
Yo, you need attention? Like you're a human? Nah, I got other things to do. I need to read a book. Ghosted.
And you're already telling me how many kids you want from me and planning a wedding?
Ghosted.
They want to go to expensive places.
I had to pay the bill.
Ghosted.
Breath.
Breath.
If you don't brush your teeth,
you better smell like black African soap.
Ghosted.
Men. I hate to say, some guys are just dog.
Men ghost in a really like petty, disrespectful way.
They just get with people, disappear. Get with the next girl, disappear.
And it's like, oh, you won't play with me, bye.
Get with the next girl, disappear. That's just what they do.
And you're like, okay, kick rocks.
Definitely women.
Women.
Girls?
Women.
Hands down. Women have so much options.
For girls, it's easier to find a guy.
They have so much at their feet.
They're betting on them like racehorses.
Okay, well, what this guy won't do, the next one won't do. This guy lacking this, this one won't do.
Oh, this guy took me to a steakhouse, but this guy got the new Jordan, you know?
Kind of like that better deal comes around.
So you like weigh your options.
But then again, I'm single. I don't know why I said that.
We have our own ways of ghosting.
I ghost you to make a point. Oh, you thought she was gonna play? Ghosted. Oh, now you texting me? Unghosted. Resurrected. You live again.
One of the best ways to ghost somebody is when they call you to give them one-word answers. Would you like to go out later? Maybe.
See, with ghosting, you don't always have to be actually cold. A person just can't know you have emotion.
So, I don't know how many people
find him. It's been that time of the month for about 3-4 months.
He never called after that. Because now I'm a GG. That's double G. Ghosting G.
I don't do that anymore. I am a reformed ghoster. These days, it's kind of hard to ghost with all the social media around.
Snapchat, Tinder, Christian Mingle.
You can get tracked down within moments.
The key to ghosting is to be quiet. If you just start unfollowing people and they know it, then you ain't ghosting. You just announcing it.
Like, I see you liking pictures on Instagram. I see you liking things on Facebook. So I know that you're not busy.
Hashtag, where you at?
You gotta preempt the ghostness. So before you ghost me, if I see a shadow of the ghost, I ghost you.
Ghost on you. Ghost the ghoster.
So it's a preempt.
So.
Oh man.
Ghosting is a real thing.
Wow.
Like
ghosting.
I don't know how many people, cause I wanna ask everybody, and I'm gonna start with Helen because you look like you done ghosted some people. have you ever ghosted or been ghosted on, Helen?
I'm gonna ignore the first part of it.
Oh, this is funny.
I have participated in ghosting affairs once or twice in my lifetime, okay?
That's so formal.
Okay, but
ghosting affairs, I like that.
Were you on the giving end of these ghosting affairs or the receiving end?
I've been on both. And it's so funny because hearing those people talk, the one that resonated the most with me is like, we're not vibing, we have nothing in common. Me and you both know this is over, so why do I gotta text you back? For what? You know, it's done. It's done. I don't wanna have to have an awkward conversation with you. We're in a time and day where a phone call ain't necessary, a meetup, nothing formal, just leave it alone. Now we have options. Blocked, you're done, I'll never see you again. I like the option. Now I don't want it done to me.
that's not right.
Well, I know it's hypocritical, but we telling the truth.
You are telling the truth.
I'm telling the truth though. Yeah, you're right. It's wrong, but you're right. Yeah.
I don't know what she wanna be right.
So wait. Haley.
Yes.
Have you been or have you ghosted anyone?
Yeah, I've been on both ends. I ain't even gonna lie. Yeah. Last year, I got ghosted really, really bad. And I told Winnie about it. Dude didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. And I was just like, I don't understand. He just like fell off the face of the earth. But then, you know, they always come back. So that was awkward. But,
Oh, you got it like, that, huh?
She does. She does.
Talk about it.
No. But I have definitely ghosted people, but for the most part, I'm pretty upfront. My issue is when I already tell you I don't want to talk to you, and then you're like, but why? Because then I got to ghost you, because I didn't already said what I had to say, so.
Right.
I need to like not talk about this anymore. So yes, definitely, both ends.
Wow. You know, somebody says to me, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to be aware. I don't even know whether I want to know the answer or not. It's like, okay, bye.
Right, exactly, Will. That's what you should do. But people, you know, in this day and age, they don't know how to take no. And so I'm just like, no, but for real, I'm not talking to you. So like, I'm about to block you because you're making this.
Yep.
Block.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely.
So I kind of want to ask, okay, so before I do that, I want to ask Whitney. I know you ghosted me, but have you
now
been ghosted
easy.
Or have you ghosted anyone else?
Oh, man. I'm going to address that next week, that comment right there about you next week.
Wow.
But so back in the day, like when I was really out here dating and stuff, social media wasn't popping as much. So I really, and I want to apologize to everybody that I did this to. I'm sorry. I'm kind of like Haley, but I feel like I'm worse with it. If I didn't, you already know, or you would have known at the time when we was talking, if I wasn't feeling it, I probably told you in person, and I probably cut that off. Now, if you kept hitting me up, only because I've been in situations where guys, you know, I've had people
pop up at a job and stuff like that. I don't play all that. So,
that's stalking.
Yeah, I have yes, and that's the problem. That's the problem. Like, you ghost somebody, but when you grow up in a small town, you can't really ghost them. Like, they know where you live. They know where you at. They show up. So, yeah, I've done it. And I would do it if I was in that situation now. Because sometimes people just, they really don't know how to take no. So what are you supposed to do? Like, talk to them every day and be like, I'm not going to talk to you tomorrow. I just wanted to let you know that up front today. So when you text me tomorrow, that I'm also not going to talk to you then. Right. Like, no, you got to cut that off.
Wait, I heard Will yell out, that's stalking. And it got me. Yo, you done stalked somebody and somebody done stalked you. What's going on?
No. Them stalking me. I never stalked people. I never felt like there's so many people out here. You should never really have to be chasing nobody. There's too many people that's available. What are you chasing people like that for?
And besides,
A savvy update from somebody that wrote in about her and her man not together because we gave her good advice. Because I felt she was chasing him. So, like you said, there's people out here.
Yeah, ain't no point.
Chasing nobody.
Ain't no point.
Yeah.
There's like 10. You can walk a mile and probably run into at least 2-3 people that probably want to get to know you. What you out here chasing down people for?
That's right.
Pointless. Mm. And go on about your life.
That's right. And I tell you something else. Hey, folks, we almost out of time, but if you have to chase somebody, you may not like what you get when you catch them. I'm telling you
that's right. Say
that's
real. That is real. Yes.
That is preacher material. Yes.
Yeah, you might catch a whole lot of stuff that you don't even want. Okay. Oh. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
EB.
Wow. So,
EB. I feel that you have to do a part two on this deal here. This has been too good.
We're definitely going to do part two, and I hope that Haley and Helen will both be available to come next week because I want to get into this ghosting thing. It's big.
Yes.
But right now, since we've reached the end of the show, it's time to give our savvy heathen talk and give out our social media contact information. So I'm going to let Helen go, then I'm going to let Whitney go, then I'm going to let Haley go, actually.
Evie, did you almost forget my name?
No, I was, because I meant to name you before, I meant to name you before Whitney, but because of the heartbreak that Whitney and I experienced, sometimes I still.
Okay, way to clean it up, EB.
Hey, ladies, he has not, EB has not healed yet.
Oh my gosh.
He has not healed, so, okay?
I haven't healed. So, Helen, what is your savvy heathen talk for the week?
I didn't come prepared, you guys. I don't have an offering this week. But I will be back next week with plenty to share, okay?
So where can the people find you on social media?
You can follow me on Instagram at thelovely.hc.
All right. And so now I'm going to go to Haley, who's not the love of my life. But I love Haley. What is, you know, them Robinson sisters, they'll get you caught up. Fellas, if you in love with a
wow.
Wow, you better run. You gonna do it like that?
Wow.
Haley, what is your savvy heathen talk?
My savvy heathen talk is, for that white man who ran up on me this weekend.
Oh, yes.
If I catch you again out here by yourself, it's a wrap. And I can be found at As Told By Her on Instagram and YouTube.
As Told By Her, white man, we looking for you. Don't run up on my people like that. This is my sister-in-law. We not going.
You'll get jumped. Let him know, EB.
Whitney, what is your savvy heathen talk?
Oh my gosh, y'all killing me tonight. I want to put this out there so y'all got plenty of time. Cuddling season is around the corner. Don't be out here being lonely. Choose your cuddling partners wisely. Do not come up in 2019 saying, I'm stuck with so-and-so because we got pregnant listening to Raheem Devon. No, don't do that to yourself. I'm telling you now, when November hit, watch yourself. Watch yourself.
That's true.
Raheem said his music wasn't made for that. That's Trey Song.
He sure, you know, no, EB. No,
Trey,
he said the two, he said
yeah, for
the
2 minutes.
Quick, man. Yeah, the 2 minute man. That's what he minutes. Said.
Yeah.
Right.
We were listening. EB, we were listening closely, believe me.
Okay, my bad. The 2 minute man. I don't want to misquote Mr. Devon. And
please,
I'm gonna give my savvy heathen talk for the week. QN is not here, so surprisingly we had a show that was almost devoid of profanity, except when Will got mad. You know, when Will got mad, he said a little something. So, I feel like I would make Q-Lin proud if I said, shit, grabbing
oh
by the balls, shit. So this has been Soul Savages Radio. Catch us next week. We out, y'all.
Yeah, EB, you forgot something. Oh, before you do that, I want you to close them up because you forgot about grabbing, all right? But anyway, folks, if you're out there, Q-Lin, all right, it's been a great show. I know you're out there slinging and you're swinging, girl. But anyway.
Oh, my God. No. No, he didn't.
Wait, Will, say that one more time.
Hey, she's out there slinging and swinging.
Yep.
You
swinging and
swinging.
So, EB, hey, close them out, brother.
Soul Savages Radio, y'all. We will see y'all next week. We know we're going to have Helen back. Haley, will we have you back?
Yes, I will be here.
So we're going to continue this conversation on ghosting next week.
That's right. And in the meantime, what do you grab them, EB?
You grab them by the ball.
It never gets old.
Thursday
night,
17
Oh, my goodness, folks. All right. Hey, look, it's coming up. Hey, don't go anywhere. Hey, keep it right there. It's Studio W the Buzz. We've got Mr. Melody coming up. We've got, you guys, you are so bad. You've gone over into Mr. Melody's Mellow Mood Show, which starts right about now. Stay tuned, folks. This has been a blast.
We have this. Rest in peace. I get so lonely. Janet Jackson.
Wow. What a show.